today, right now, right now, begins the next chapter in the story of Calvary Baptist Church. Now, we're going to call this chapter 4, all right? So you've had some really good chapters prior to this, and we'll just base them on the decades, all right? So let's talk a second. Let's look back a moment at chapter 1 in the 80s. A Bible study starts in Madison, starts meeting in various living rooms around town. Eventually, this group of people gets the idea that we want to become a church. And so that happens in 1985. Church is incorporated with 13 members. Pastor Greg Nelson was the pastor. They met above the Red Owl grocery store, which is now where Rural Solutions is, I believe. And then later in the basement of Klein Bank. A year later, there was a new pastor, Bob Bohacek, and soon after, a new place to meet, the purchase of the greenhouse, of which the A-frame is still part of that old building. And I know there are a few people here this morning who were involved in that original group, and if you were part of that original Bible study, I'm going to have you stand, if you could. Whit Nabel. All right. And you know what? I'm gonna actually have you keep standing because we're gonna add to your number here in a moment. All right. So now, anyone who came in the rest of the decade of the 80s, so the first 5 years of the church, did you join in the 80s? All right, fantastic. And keep standing. That's chapter one. Chapter two, the 1990s was a great decade of growth for Calvary. Moved from 13 members, maybe to a high of 130 in attendance some Sundays. You needed to build a new building. I hope I'm getting this all right, but I think the lower ceiling part of this building was built at that point to accommodate that in 1994. God was honored in this place. You added the powerhouse in 98. Anyone who joined the church in the 90s, in chapter 2, stand and join us here at this point. Yes, if you were joined by birth, that would be, you need to... That would be the time to stand, right? Thanks for your faithfulness to this church. Chapter 3 is the 2000s. Good ministry continued. I understand there was more outreach to the community. You started missions trips to Mexico. I'm told that the youth group really came alive in the 2000s. So if you started coming from 2000 to 2010 or were born during that period, will you stand? Okay, and then finally 2010 to today, let's throw you into chapter 3. So why don't you join us? Fantastic. And now we turn the page to chapter 4. So I know that there are visitors here, all right, but you are in the building today on chapter 4, so you got to stand and join us. You're part of the story. You're in the building. Okay, look around you. Whether you were part of the earliest chapters of this church or today is your first Sunday, you are now part of Calvary Baptist Church, chapter 4. Yeah. All right? And we are going to write this chapter, you and me and God, we're going to write it together. So remember this moment. You may have a seat. So who do we want to be in this next chapter? You have an incredible foundation that's already been laid. You have people here who have given generously of their time and talents and money, and I'm sure blood, sweat, and tears probably is not inappropriate in the description of some cases. Anna and I said yes to come here because it was so evident to us that so many of the elements of what you're looking for in a healthy church were in place here. I applaud you for what you've accomplished over the years and the heart with which you've accomplished it. Well done. So now we want to build upon that foundation because we're not done, right? We are tasked with continuing to ask what God has for this church and for this city and this community. So we need to ask, what's next? What's next for Calvary Baptist? What direction are we heading? What do we want to be about? Now, the pastor doesn't decide all this on his own, right? This is something that we decide on together and we do together. But I do have a few suggestions. that I would like to discuss with you this morning. I'd like to suggest, first of all, that Calvary Baptist in the coming years be all about real-life, loving relationships. Real-life, loving relationships. Let's talk about the loving relationships piece of that first. The church needs to be a family. Jesus said in John chapter 13, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's a command, actually. The previous verse, I didn't tell Joni to do this, but she happened to put it on the front of your bulletin. Jesus says, love one another. It's a command. We're supposed to do it. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters. I have two biological brothers. We've had a lot of great times over the years, a lot of laughter. There have also been times when we didn't like each other very much, didn't agree on everything, right? But I tell you what, even in those times where we were disagreeing, they're still my brothers. And if there was something that I could do to help them advance in their life or have something good happen to them, I would do it. And if my brothers went through a period of time of suffering or tragedy, a loss or a health change, man, I would be by their side. I want to suggest to you today that's how we need to look at each other. We need to have good times of laughter and enjoyment together. But you know, we already know we're not always going to agree. Do you have commitment to each other that even if you don't agree on something, you're going to stick it out, be committed to your brother and sister, and still show love? We need to do that. And if there's something I can do to help you advance in your life, or have something good happen to you, I need to do it for you, and you need to do that for me and with each other. And if you're suffering in your life and you've had a loss, I need to be there for you. I need you to be there for me because these things are going to happen. And vice versa. Now, in order for that to happen, we need to be aware of what's going on in each other's lives. And we need to be consciously thinking, how can I help? So how does a group of people start to feel like family? I know that this group already does in a lot of ways. But we can always get better at this, right? I think that happens by spending time together, right? You're not going to know what's going on in each other's lives unless you're spending time. Do you think that you're going to have a super close bond to someone in this church by having a two-minute conversation every week in the back of the church over a Kennedy donut before the announcements start? I don't think you're going to feel like brothers and sisters if that's all you're doing. No, relationships are built through time spent together. I got a number of stories from Tom Witte last night. One of them involved a recent youth group trip to Sunshine Music Festival, where it rained all weekend and they were tenting out, and Tom was describing how he and Sawyer were grabbing blankets and beach towels and whatever else they could grab to kind of, you know, sandbag around their tent to try to keep it from getting wet, and apparently it didn't work. I'm told that it was so wet that Josh Woody came home with a foot fungus. How embarrassing. Calling you out there, Josh, all right. So that sounds like fun, right? not so much. But you know what? Those are the kind of memories, or those are the events that create memories and help you to start to feel like family. Now, I don't want us to all go tenting together in the rain. No thanks. But for Calvary Baptist to do this correctly, we need to be spending time together, which means we need to be doing more than just Sunday mornings. We need to be here for Bible studies in the middle of the week. We need to have events where we're going out into the community to serve together. We need to have events that are just for fun, bonfires, something like that. We need to do retreats together, maybe do short-term missions trips together. That's how you create family. Now, I know a lot of these things are happening already, but maybe we want to do more. Maybe we need to tweak some things. We need time spent together. This goes for all age groups, by the way. Everyone needs to feel connected. You know the passage in the Bible where it talks about the church as the body of Christ? God has given all of us individual gifts. They're all different. And it's only when we come together and exercise those gifts that you see what God was trying to do through the church. It's an analogy, all right? Maybe you're gifted as an arm, and maybe someone else is the eye, maybe I'm the leg. Again, those parts by themselves aren't going to be much good, but when they come together and work together, that's when it's happening. We're intertwined in the body of Christ. So if God has made you the arm or the leg of this place or the brain, and you're sitting home on the couch and not here, then we're in trouble. We need everybody here and involved, again, more than just Sunday. We need you to use your gifts if you're not using them already. The Christian church started, of course, right after Jesus died, was raised to life, and ascended to heaven. And there's a picture of what that early church looked like in Acts chapter 2. I thought we would take a look at that this morning. Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Did anything in that passage make you uncomfortable? Let's read verses 44 and 45 again. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Whew. Are we supposed to be selling our cars and our personal possessions in order to make sure that everyone in our church body has their needs met? Whew. That makes me a little uncomfortable. God couldn't mean that, could he? I love how no matter how many times you've read the Bible, it never ceases to be challenging. But the reason I put this passage up and have you read it today is because of this idea of the church being a family. In that description of Acts, does it look like this church, that early church, was a family? Absolutely. Not only did they share their resources, but how often did they meet together? Did you catch that? Every single day they met together in the temple courts. These people spent time together. Now, I'm not going to start calling you and suggesting that you need to be at church every single day and giving you guilt trips, so don't worry about that. But would it be appropriate for this new pastor to call and encourage you to be involved in more than just Sunday mornings? One day out of the week for an hour and a half, especially in light of this passage we just read where they were so excited they met every day. I think it would be appropriate, and I think it's going to happen over time. And I'm not just going to do this because it's going to be good for the church if you're here. I'm going to do this because it's good for you if you're here and involved. We want to have loving relationships. All right, now let me turn to, I said we want to have real-life loving relationships. Let's talk about that for a moment. The last church that Anna and I were involved in, the name was Real Life Church. I wasn't so sure what I thought of that name when I first heard it. I thought maybe it was a little cheesy. But I, over time, came to realize that that was more than just a name. It was a philosophy. These people were intentionally wanting their church to be a place where people could come and be real with each other. There's pressure on Christians to act like you got it all together. And this leads to what I call shiny happy people syndrome. We put on our fancy clothes and we come to church and we smile and we laugh and we pretend that everything in our lives is super duper, even if it's not. I don't want to have shiny happy people syndrome here. I believe that when you're around people in your church, you should feel safe to be able to talk about your life in real terms. If you're hurting, you should be comfortable talking about it with us. If you have a junky past, you should be able to talk about it openly. If you're struggling with a sin currently, you should feel safe to tell your brothers and sisters in Christ about it. And we can be of encouragement to you because everyone in this room, at least to some level, understands what it's like to struggle with sin and temptation. We understand what it's like to be lonely and sad. It's okay to be real. That's what being family is about. Now, please, this does not mean that we shouldn't be happy. Man, we're followers of Christ. We got all kinds of reasons to be happy. There should be laughter and lots of smiles in this room. How depressing would it be if all we did was stand around this church and talk about our problems? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that it is okay, in addition to laughter in this building, to occasionally hear tears shed. It's okay to be hearing people talking about how brutally hard life can be at times and how they're struggling. Let's be real with each other. Oh, by the way, people are not going to be real if they're worried about you looking down on them or talking about them behind their backs. If we really love each other, we're going to respond with love and grace. That's not to say there's not consequence for sins, because there is, but an initial response should be love and grace. If someone is confessing a struggle to you, there needs to be confidentiality and no gossip. I would like to suggest that Calvary Baptist Church in its next chapter be about real life, loving relationships. I would also like to suggest that Calvary Baptist in the coming years, that this building that we're in this morning be viewed as only home base. Much, maybe even most, of our work needs to be done outside of these walls. Jesus Christ, who was the very Son of God, knelt down and he took on the servant's task of washing their feet, the feet of his disciples. And then he took it a big step further by dying on the cross for our sins and paying the price that we were supposed to pay. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, was a servant, and he asked us to do the same. We need to be out in the community being servants. And this is challenging to me, so don't feel like you're the only one. Serving is not easy. It's a discipline. And you know, I think the times I've been most successful in actually going out and doing these kinds of things have been when I've been involved in a group that was intentionally planning events like that. Let's be a church that plans those things and does them spontaneously. Will you commit with me to being intentional to serve this community and to serve each other? So here's another thing that Jesus asked of us, Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, do you believe that Jesus really was the Son of God? Do you believe in the Bible's teaching that everyone is born into separation from God because of sin, and that we need to be saved, that there's danger of suffering eternal consequences? Are you convinced that Jesus offers not only that salvation and heaven and love, but he offers you the pathway to really living in this life too? Okay, if you believe those things, do you know anyone in your life that needs to hear that message, that needs to come to Jesus? Does it make any sense for us to go even another week without sitting down at your living room table and starting to think, like intentionally think, how am I going to get this message to these people and show them Christ's love, instead of just floating on through life? We're going to spend some time together as a church in the coming months talking about how we can do this effectively. Now, some of you may be out there, maybe you're not convinced of Christ fully yourself, and you're thinking, oh boy, here come those evangelical Baptists. They're going to start waving their Bibles in people's faces and being annoying. Well, I will say that there are some methods that people have used to get the message out that really just really are annoying. All right? And I don't want to do those methods. But assuming you're not talking about that, if you were just thinking that just now, oh boy, here come the annoying Christians, those crazy Baptists, Let me ask you this. If the message is true, and I believe strongly that it is, and you're sitting out there today with a big question mark about what happens at the end of your life, and I'm up here with the answer for you, not just for that question mark at the end of your life, but how to live life fully in the way that's best for you, man, what kind of jerk would I have to be to keep that to myself? That would not be very loving of me, would it? It does not make sense for us not to be, as a church, out in the community, sharing Christ with those people in our lives. We need to be showing love in the Madison area. And if we're out in the community doing this kind of thing, that may mean that eventually we have to invite the community back into this building. Hey, that might get a little uncomfortable too. Are we willing to be uncomfortable for Jesus? The Acts passage closes by saying, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Okay, that would not have been happening if they had all decided, "I really like you guys, let's just be a club and remember Jesus together and just kind of hang out together." Okay? No, they were out proclaiming the news of what Jesus had done. We need to be seeing people in this community coming to Christ, life-saving commitment to Christ on a regular basis. Man, if that's not happening in this next chapter, something's wrong. We need to be intentional about it. So, can we remember that these walls, it's just home base. It's a good home base, but it's just home base. Finally, I'd like to suggest that Calvary Baptist Church in the coming years continues to maintain a strong commitment to being a place where people connect with the life-changing, living God. The Bible says that the Word of God is active and alive. It has the power to penetrate hearts and change people's lives in ways you wouldn't think possible. The Word of God will be preached in this church. And it's going to continue to be taught in Sunday school with the kids. It's going to be taught in lessons to the teens at the Powerhouse. I'll suggest if the only time you're cracking open your Bible during the week is on Sunday morning, then you're missing it. You need to be reading the Bible in your own devotional times. You need to be here, part of Bible studies where you can discuss it together. Acts 2:42 said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devoted, that's a pretty strong word and a correct word. We need to be devoted to studying the words of Jesus and to applying them to our lives. Now, they weren't just devoted to that. They were also, it says, devoted to the breaking of bread and prayer. The breaking of bread there is considered to be communion. They got together to remember Jesus through communion and to encourage each other, just like we've done here this morning. They got together to call out to God in prayer. We're going to be a praying church. Later on in the passage, it says that they spent time praising God. And we need to continue to meet to sing praises. You know, have you ever thought when you see the commands in the Bible, you're commanded to love God and to give him praise. Did you ever think, boy, God's kind of vain. He just needs all of this praise from us. Man, I don't think that that's for God. I think that's for us. Something happens in our hearts when we turn our full attention and submission to God and sing out to him. Give him our emotions and our spirits. Lastly, don't miss the passage that the passage says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The Bible is really clear that if there were miracles that were done, it wasn't because of the apostles, it was because of God. The real live God was at work in that early church with that group of people. And we can expect him to show up here in amazing ways if we are asking for it and if we are seeking him. Amen. He will show up. I know that there are testimonies in this church of how radically God has changed their lives. And we'll save those for another time, but know this now. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. There is power in it. Paul said that, and elsewhere he says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in transgressions. We come alive when we meet the real live God. There is love for you. There is mercy for you. There is power in it. Amen. Calvary Baptist Church, in the coming years, we need to continue to be a place where people can come to meet with the true life-giving, life-changing God. So those are my suggestions for us on this first Sunday together. I would suggest that we be committed to real-life, loving relationships. I would suggest we remember this is only home base. And I'd suggest we stay committed to having this be a place where people can meet with the real live God. Now, I'm going to need you to be patient with me because, a lot of these things are happening already. If there are additional things we decide to do to make sure we're accomplishing all those tasks, those things are going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time and planning. So don't expect it to look radically different in the next few weeks, right? Be patient. Plan with me. Let's work together in this. Similarly, I really want to get out and meet every one of you and hear your stories. That also is going to take time. Just not physically possible to do it all right away. But these are the ways that I would like to see us go together in the future. Okay, I want to do something now. I'm going to ask you all to leave your seats, and we are going to form a big circle together. And visitors, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. That may be awkward for you, but join us in the circle, will you? We're going to pray and sing and have some closing thoughts. All right, everyone's holding hands except for me because I've got my pages. This is our church. I believe that God will reward us if we are dedicated to the tasks that we have just talked about. This is the next chapter of Calvary Baptist Church, and I'm pumped to be a part of it. Amen. Let's stand together for God in this community, in this church, and in our lives. I've asked Jill Whitnable, one of the members of that Bible study, even before we became a church, back in chapter 1, to give us a prayer of blessing for this next time, this next chapter together. Jill.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are blessed. First and foremost, Lord, we praise you for who you are, maker of heaven and earth, creator, God Almighty, and yet you love us, and your mercy is everlasting. Father, help us to always be people of praise. Father, we dedicate this next chapter to you. We pray, Lord God, that we will look back on how far you've brought us, but look forward in anticipation of what you're going to do. Your mighty power. We believe, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And look what you've done in history. Lord, you have great things in store. Lord, we dedicate this church to you again in chapter 4. We pray that we would be people of love, that all men would know that we are your disciples because we love one another. Father, we pray that we would be out in the community, unashamed of the gospel, proclaiming your truth. Lord, add to our numbers, not because we want a big count here, but because we want to bring as many people as we can to heaven with us. And Father, we just pray that we would always be devoted to your word, knowing that it is truth. We pray that you would speak truth to us, that we would hear it when it's uncomfortable, when it gives us joy and hope. In every circumstance, Lord, we know that your word is true. And it is the sure foundation that we stand upon. Father, we just want to glorify you. We pray that you would always feel welcome here. That the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight. That you would be our rock and our foundation. Lord, we pray for our new pastor, Eric and Anna and Maya. We pray for the leadership. We pray for each and every one that walks through that door. Lord, we just look to you for everything. We need you for everything. And we just commit this time to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.